League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
IND File, the ultimate Colts podcast with Nate Lundy.
Welcome into the podcast. My name is Nate Lundy. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. A lot on tap for the podcast this week as we kick things off. We'll get to our big interview in just a moment. Talk about the big storylines as training camp and the preseason are underway and the start of the regular season is just a couple of weeks away. Plus, we'll do Around the League with the coach, Brian Billick from NFL Network, as we will every week, a chance to visit with the coach. And we'll close things out this week's podcast with Overtime, a six-pack of questions. This week's guest, Andrew Siciliano of the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone channel. But it all gets started with the big interview next.
The big interview.
It is time for our big interview as we take a look at the Colts this week. We visit with Matt Dainley. He is the founder of QBMecca.com, and he also takes care of covering the Colts as well as the entire AFC South when it comes to InsideThePylon.com. Matt, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate you having me on.
Matt, as we sit here at kind of the halfway point of the preseason, what do you see so far out of the Colts, kind of maybe from a 30,000-foot level, and then we'll dial down a little bit closer?
Well, I think you see a lot of things, and most notably, I see injuries. A lot in their secondary. You know, they've done some work throughout camp. I was fortunate enough to get in there and kind of keep a big eye on Andrew Luck this year during their first couple weeks of camp, and you can see that they're definitely trying to refine something about him, whether it's his footwork or his eye discipline or something. They're trying to really keep him honed in on going through his progression, you know, taking the easy shots on first and second down, and outside of that, mainly it's just the coaching changes and kind of the different feel that they have brought to the team this year as in the past few years.
As you look at the vibe to this camp, how is it compared to years past? I mean, when you've got a team that's coming off of, you know, you lose your star quarterback, you lose a lot of games, there was a lot of losing, I guess we could say, Matt.
Oh, yeah.
How has the vibe been here in the preseason, here in training camp, compared to what you've experienced in seasons past?
Well, like I said, with them doing what they've been doing with Luck in camp specifically, you've seen some overthrows from him where he's normally a little more accurate, but it's all processed in that regard. But there's a very measured approach. You know, you see a different take from Pagano with the media and just in general in an overall sense. Ted Monachino, the new defensive coordinator who come over, he and Philbin, who came from Miami, they're very the things that stuck out to me the most in camp were that they're constantly teaching, you know, the linemen and the defense respectively. So I don't want to say that it wasn't being done in years past, but it definitely stuck out this year versus years in the past. And you can kind of see as far as like where they're headed scheme wise offensively, at least you can kind of see that they're incorporating a little more of the zone running scheme with, you know, Turbin back there. They've got the rookie Ferguson,
mm-hmm.
and of course Frank Gore. You know, it's going to be an odd, but it's going to be a different look for sure from that offense and how they kind of try to get themselves on a roll. As you know, this last preseason game, Luck was 8-for-8. And I don't know if he's ever gone 8-for-8, to be quite honest with you, to start a game. And that was one of the things that I've tried to point out as often as possible, is that they need to get him they need to get him on a roll early in the game, because he's always solid, it seems like, in the third and fourth quarters, but in the first and second quarter, it seems a little scatterbrained and stuff like that. You know, it just seems like they don't really have a good feel about how to get him started or get his engine going.
Matt Dainley, our guest, we're talking Colts here on the podcast. You follow him on Twitter at @MDainley_NFL. That's DaneLy. Matt, talking about that running game here for a second, if we've got the pie and we've got to break it up between the guys you were just talking about, how do you think the pieces get broken up?
Well, I think they've got to give Gore the majority of it, of the carries and the touches, only because they're really running into a situation where they're really going to tip their hand. Or Chudzinski's just got to be very, very good at not tipping his hand this year, because, you know, Ferguson cannot run between the tackles effectively. He squeezed through a hole, he's probably gone. He's got electric speed, very shifty, real quick, lateral agility and movement. But, you know, aside from that, you've got Jordan Todman, who has the opportunity to break a few, but he's a little sporadic as well. And Turbin, you've seen they've put him in that fullback a few times just to get the short yardage stuff, and his role's pretty well versed right there between the tackles as well. So it's gonna be a difficult process, I think, for them to kind of figure out who belongs where and how they can manipulate the defenses with who they've got in the backfield. But I think Gore's going to get 65% of the carries throughout the season. I don't think that's necessarily a stretch. I think it would be, if they had a solid number two that could be a multifaceted guy out of the backfield for him, I think that they would have that opportunity to drop his carries 55% or 60% or so at his age. But I just don't think they're going to have the opportunity to do it this year. I think he's going to get the lion's share of the carries just like he did last year.
And is there faith that his body can hold up?
You hear different things from different people. It's really hard to tell. He looks solid. He doesn't look fragile or anything like that. He still finds ways to squeeze in between holes that don't even look like they're there. And he's also got enough. He's also shown a little bit of power, you know, in their full contact drills and stuff like that, to where he's still doing his job in protection, and he's still getting to the second level, and he's really putting the hurt on some of the linebackers. So I think his physicality is there for sure, but whether his body holds up throughout the season could be another story. It just kind of depends on how everything goes, I suppose.
Matt, I enjoyed the press conference that took place with Antonio Cromartie being introduced as the newest member of the Colts, where he said, quote, "I love the irony." Is it going to be difficult for Colts fans to accept him in the blue and white?
I don't think so. I think, you know, and Indianapolis has really fallen in love with Vontae Davis. And with him being hurt, I think that they're more worried about actually having somebody who can fill his slot and fill his shoes. And that's one of the weakest areas on the field for the Colts defense as well. They've got a lot of frontline depth now. I wouldn't say a lot. They've got a lot more than they've had in the past. Their linebacker situation's pretty fluid. But in the secondary, you know, we've been riddled with injuries. Darius Butler's been very touch and go. Vontae, when he's hurt, our secondary looked awful. Greg Toler last year was hurt a bunch. He wasn't very good when he was healthy. They drafted DeJune Smith last year, I think, in the third round. So that's, you know, it's very – and Patrick Robinson, who we just got in free agency this year, has been a guy who's he just hurt his groin, so you know as well as I do that that can linger all year. You never really know when someone's going to be fully 100% behind that. So it's hard to tell. He's going to fit in because he's a solid corner. His age and where he ends up, you know, last year he wasn't great, but the guy, you know, it's riding a bike for these guys. They know how to cover. They know he's got good ball skills. He's a guy who's going to fill a role that the Colts desperately need filled, even if it's only for half the season or as long as he can stay healthy. So they'll bring him in, and the Colts fans will love him and adore him, and they've already been reaching out to him quite a bit. So it'll be a happy marriage as long as he can show that he's at least capable of filling in a decent manner, above average manner.
Obviously an 8-8 season last year, Matt. What's a success this year?
They have I've had this discussion with so many different people in the past month or two, and it's so hard to tell because You see on certain programs that they're being given the 8-8, you know, 500 slot. The AFC South this year is really an awesome division, in my opinion. I think it's going to be great seeing other teams. Just to see the competition rise in that division after it's been so low for so many years will be a great thing. And I think they'll have some trouble within the division as well. I don't think they'll see any blowout games, and that includes Tennessee as well. And I think that they can have a couple, three of them taken from them this year. So I think to say that they're an 8-win team sounds really lowball to me. But to jump out and say they're a 10 or 11-win team seems extremely high as well. I think 9 wins can win the AFC South again this year. You know, if there's a 10-win team, I think it is the Colts, that's for sure. But I think that it's quite possible that we could have another situation like last year where we have a couple teams right there dead even going into the final week of the season. But in the end, I do think the Colts will end up taking the division. I think they'll do it with 9 or 10 wins at the most. I don't think they'll take any more than that.
Matt, if it is below 8 wins, if it's 7, if it's 6, is Chuck Pagano in trouble?
Yeah, he is. What they did this year when they signed him to an extension and kind of, re-signed him, however you want to consider it there, and then kind of tied him and Grigson at the hip together, that 4-year means nothing, especially for a coach. You know, their salary doesn't go on, the team roster salaries. So, I mean, that money that he gets and the years that he's given in his contract doesn't mean anything. If he doesn't show that he's grown, if this set of coaching staff that he's kind of refurbished the team with and they don't do something, he's in a lot of trouble, I think. Whether he gets the boot at this time immediately following, let's say, like you said, a 6 or 7-win season, that would be kind of up in the air. I'm not real sure if he would get that right away, but I think it would be strongly considered. It wouldn't surprise me a bit if it happened. If he had another season where he didn't get 10 wins, after that, he's gone. 2 years is his max contract, in my opinion, if he doesn't win 9 games a year.
Covering the Colts and the AFC South for InsideThePylon.com. He's on Twitter at @MDanely_NFL. That's Danely. It's Matt Danely. Matt, really appreciate the time. Thanks. Look forward to talking with you more as we get through the regular season.
Hey, absolutely. I appreciate you having me on. Thank you very much.
We go around the league next with the coach, Brian Billick. Stick around.
Around the league.
It is time for us to go around the league, and as we will do each week throughout the season, we're joined from the NFL Network. You find him on Twitter at Coach Billick. It is the coach, Brian Billick. And first of all, Coach, how's your offseason been?
It's been great. As usual, too short, but it's time for football, so we'll crank this thing up.
It always feels like it's too short. Let's talk about some of the stories from the offseason and even from training camp and beyond. A few interesting quarterback moves, so let's start here. First of all, what's your assessment of the Broncos quarterback situation and the decision Gary Kubiak's having to make?
Well, anytime you take a quarterback in the first round, obviously L.A. doing it with Jared Goff, and then Carson Wentz in Philadelphia, and then Paxton Lynch in Denver. At some point, you've got to know these guys are going to start. I mean, since Aaron Rodgers did it in 2005, and he's the poster child for those that say, okay, you shouldn't start a quarterback. Let him sit in and learn behind somebody else. Well, with all due respect, he sat in behind Brett Favre. That's a Hall of Famer. And Carson Wentz and Jared Goff and Paxton Lynch, they're not sitting behind Hall of Fame. In my opinion, they ought to play. And it sounds like Paxton Lynch, particularly with a team like Denver, that's going to pack a great defense. They anticipate running the ball well. Why would you not start him?
And then when you go from Denver, let's stay in the West. Let's go to the NFC West. What about what Chip Kelly is dealing with in San Francisco with Gabbert, with Kaepernick? It feels like it's a very odd situation that he's trying to decide who his quarterback for 2016 is going to be.
Yeah, you know, look, the old adage is if you have 2 or 3 quarterbacks, you have no quarterback. I mean, it should be very clear-cut. And he may have already decided. I think there's still an upside for Colin Kaepernick. We'll see how he fits into the Chip Kelly system. You'd think it would be fabulous. Blaine Gabbert, I think we've seen, is a backup, a good, solid backup in this league. I don't know that you're going to be a championship-caliber club contact that still has a little of that upside. But the hard thing will be that this roster is not a great roster right now. It's not a great defense. You know, you hope that Carlos Hyde can stay healthy and run the ball. The receiving core, they have some potential there, but I don't know they have the absolute go-to guy, and that includes their tight ends. Vance McDonald is kind of pedestrian. So I think the group that he's going to be working with, along with the defense that's clearly having to rebuild, I think there's going to be some challenges for Chip in San Francisco.
What about a positive quarterback story, at least from what we've seen in the preseason so far, and that's Robert Griffin III in Cleveland. A lot of folks feel like maybe we're starting to see the RG3 that we saw at the very beginning in Washington.
Well, you hope so, because obviously this guy has a lot of talent. If he can stay healthy, and that's a big if, that's something obviously everybody's going to watch to see, because they keep saying, we're going to let Robert Griffin be Robert Griffin. Well, when Robert Griffin was Robert Griffin, when he was RG3, he got hurt. And so I'm looking for a guy that can he beat you from the pocket? Yeah, can he do the things outside? He's got potentially, and I'm hesitant to use that word because the old adage is in coaching, son, your potential is going to get me fired. But if there's some potential, it looks like Terrell Pryor has some upside in terms of the receiver. If indeed Josh Gordon can come back and be solid for them, if they can get that running game cranked up, then that's going to complement RG3 and give them a chance, obviously, to piece this thing together. And I don't think anybody expects them to be a playoff team, but they can be a good, solid, competitive team.
The buzz down in Dallas is, of course, all about Dak Prescott, and we know it's a limited sample size of preseason, but what were your thoughts on Prescott going into the draft, and are they coming to fruition?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Dak Prescott, this is different than the first-round conversation, which is good. Because for the Dallas Cowboys, obviously with Tony Romo, it's all about keeping Tony Romo healthy. But if you can get and reach down into the fourth round like they did for Dak Prescott, this is a talented guy. A lot of people will equate his game a little bit in terms of Russell Wilson. Now, that, you say that, people go, oh, boy, well, this guy needs to be your starter. I'm just saying that he's a later draft choice that's showing some potential. I did see an interesting comment from him in talking about how he feels like he's ready for whatever the NFL is going to throw at him, whether it's a vanilla defense or, as he said, a rocky road defense. I think I'm ready. Well, let's hold on that. I prefer to have a rookie quarterback know just enough to be afraid, because I love the bravado, but the difference that he'll see in the regular season versus the preseason, notwithstanding Tony Romo staying healthy, but obviously for Dallas, they've got the best of both worlds. If indeed he can be a serviceable backup, get a young quarterback that they can develop, you couldn't ask for more than your backup quarter in your backup quarter position.
The coach, Brian Billick, with us. You find him on Twitter, at Coach Billick, as we go around the league. Coach, let's talk about a couple of coaching changes. How do you think the young Adam Gase, and I always wind up feeling older when I see a head coach who's 30, but nonetheless, a young Adam Gase, how do you think he'll do in Miami?
Well, he's got it set up to do very well. I mean, he was brought in. He's the current quarterback whisperer, so he's going to come in, and Tannehill is going to be that next protege, that next quarterback. Indeed, can he transform this guy who's had a solid beginning in his career? That's how it's going to be judged, because the expectations in Miami are very high in terms of what they think they can do. Obviously, in that division, it's all about, can you supplant New England? I don't know if they're good enough to do that. So the next question is, are they good enough to be a wild card team? And that's a tall order in the AFC.
What about Doug Peterson in Philadelphia? What's your assessment of Peterson?
Well, he certainly brings the right pedigree in terms of having been a former player, being a part of successful teams with Andy Reid. He's certainly in a familiar situation. Let's go back and remember that Doug Peterson was brought in to be the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles in Andy Reid's first year in 1999 to basically hold down the spot until Donovan McNabb could eventually take it over, which he did middle to late season. Now, that was a 5-11 team. He now is sitting on a team where he's got a couple quarterbacks, more than a couple. Sam Bradford, obviously, they paid all that money to. They went out and moved up and used a lot of assets to go get Carson Wentz. But I was up at their training camp, early in training camp, and had a chance to visit with Coach Peterson. And he and Howie Roseman, the general manager, seemed wholly committed to Carson Wentz not playing this year. Now, I don't know that that's going to happen. As I said, over the, since Aaron Rodgers took over or was drafted back in 2005, 29 quarterbacks have been taken in the first round, and only a handful have not played in the first year. Only four, to be exact: Aaron Rodgers, Jason Campbell, Grady Quinn, and Jake Locker. Now, that's not an impressive list outside of Rodgers. So those that want to make the camp, well, maybe you shouldn't play your quarterback in the first year. Hasn't turned out real well. So we're going to find out if Doug Peterson wants to emulate what he did for the Philadelphia Eagles and just kind of hold, be a placeholder until they can get Carson Wentz into the starting lineup.
As you look at the NFL over the course of the last year, certainly the last 8 or 9 months, Coach, we've seen, whether it's the Al Jazeera report, we've seen Deflategate, we've seen a number of things going on. Are we in jeopardy at all with the league of Roger Goodell, any of the decisions or anything that he's doing? Is it starting to hurt the image of the league when it comes to the fans?
Well, I don't think so, particularly when we're talking, kind of talking out of both sides of the mouth when the media wants to say, well, is Roger Goodell too tough? Is he too authoritarian, as the players and the union will say? But by the same token, the NFL can't suffer these black eyes. He's got to get it under control. And that's really what it's going to come down to. We just saw the recent situation in the Olympics with Ryan Lochte. And how it's so often it's not the act itself, it's the cover-up or the lack of taking responsibility for it that is much, much more difficult, and that's what Roger Goodell and the league are trying to do, to make sure that these players understand there's going to be an accountability. There's a red line in the sand, and if you cross it, you're going to be held accountable for it.
The coach, Brian Billick, with us. Last one for you, Coach. Give me a team that is going to surprise us, and it could be a team that we think isn't going to be very good, who's going to be better than expected, or a team that has high expectations that's going to underachieve.
Wow. Well, let's go with the positive on that. And you know, when we talk about this and the work I do for the NFL Network, we're at that time of year where everybody wants to talk about that same thing about where, okay, who are the teams that are going to surprise us? And the criteria is, okay, let's begin with the teams that weren't in the playoffs last year.
Right.
Because obviously you got to see what the Carolina Panthers do. Washington Redskins, who I think are going to be pretty good. Can they get back in the playoffs? But a team that clearly needs to do well for their coach, but I think his position could be pretty good, is Jacksonville. Now, they need to be good because obviously Gus Bradley's only got 10 or 11 wins, 12 wins over the last 3 years. But you've got to love, at least in the preseason and certainly in the third year, Blake Bortles seems ready, along with, you know, that great receiving core with Allen Robinson and Allen Hurn. The tight end position is a solid one with Mercedes Lewis. Julius Thomas, who they brought in last year in free agency, could step up and have a big year for them. And obviously in the running game, getting Chris Ivory to go with E.J. Yeldon. They're going to have some offensive weapons. And, of course, Gus Bradley went out and drafted a bunch of defensive guys who they're going to play. They don't have to be great defense, but they got to be better. This could be a team in the AFC South that really could be wide open that makes their way into the playoffs.
And they're benefited, Coach, aren't they, by the division that they're in? Sometimes the geography around you benefits you, that there isn't like a Patriots or a Carolina Panthers type team that they're trying to climb over either.
Yeah, and I regrettably, we always will start the season off and, okay, what coaches are on the hot seat and well, that division's on the hot seat because every single one of those coaches, whether it be Chuck Pagano in Indianapolis, the expectations with a healthy Ryan Leaf, whether down on Mike Mularkey, all but a first year, you go, how can a first-year coach be on the hot seat? Well, let's remember what happened in Jacksonville where he went 1 year and got fired, the expectations that Marcus Mariota is going to be better, and obviously down in Houston, they went out and spent the big money on a quarterback that the Denver Broncos said they didn't want to spend the money on, and Brock Osweiler. Brock Osweiler's got to come through for Billy O'Brien, or it could be, you know, could be a problem for him. So I think that whole division of coaches is on a hot.
I say it every single year. You're a smarter football fan if you spend some time with the coach, Brian Billick. He's on Twitter, at Coach Billick. Coach, look forward to visiting with you again throughout the season. Thanks for the time.
Sounds great. It'll be fun.
Coming up next, it will be time for Overtime, a six-pack of questions, rapid-fire style, with the NFL Network's Andrew Siciliano. Overtime is next.
Overtime
It is time for overtime. That means we got a six-pack of questions, because what else do you do during overtime but make another trip to the bar and grab a six-pack so that you can enjoy it? This week, our guest in overtime from the NFL Network is Andrew Siciliano. Andrew, how are you?
Nate, how are you?
I'm doing very well, my friend. You ready for a six-pack of questions here?
Are they alcohol-free?
Well, they are alcohol-free, just in case you've got to go in front of the camera here in a moment.
Good.
All right.
Double check. Go ahead.
Let's start here. Question number one. Which rookie quarterback is going to start first, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, or Paxton Lynch?
Paxton Lynch.
And why is that?
Jared Goff might be my other answer. I think, no doubt, Case Keenum is going to be the starting quarterback for the Rams out of the gate. They have two difficult division games right out of the gate, so you're not going to see Goff, I don't think, in September. Paxton Lynch, as of our taping, Nate, still has a shot, if he performs well in week 3 of the preseason, to get the starting job, as absurd as that sounded a couple of weeks ago. And I think Paxton Lynch very well could be the 2 behind Trevor Siemian. And Trevor Siemian, somewhat unproven. That would put Paxton Lynch in a great position.
All right, question number 2. Do you think Ezekiel Elliott is going to break Tony Dorsett's 1977 rookie rushing record for the Cowboys of 1,007 yards?
Yes.
In what week?
Well, you need to average 66 yards, roughly, I believe, or 65 or something like that, a week to get to 1,000. So do the math. I say he looks like a 1,200-yard back.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'm with you on that one. All right, question number 3. Do you think that Tom Brady's suspension is going to mean the end of the Patriots' run at the top of the AFC East?
Absolutely not. Call me except in December when they win the division.
All right, question number 4. Will this intriguing Jacksonville Jaguars team, led by a defense they've been rebuilding, do you think they make the playoffs?
Ooh. I'm going to say no, but I'm going to say they make a run for it and look like a 9-7 team. I'm still not entirely sold, but I'm excited. When the schedule came out in April, I said Green Bay on the road week 1 at Jacksonville was your sneaky good game of September.
As you look at Cleveland, are we seeing the resurrection of Robert Griffin III?
Yes. The question is, how long will the life be once resurrected? He certainly looks good in the preseason. It is still the preseason. Pump your brakes, Dak Prescott fans. RG3 has proven he could play and win in this league. Can he do it as a drop-back passer? Can Hugh Jackson truly, truly give him sustained success? I don't know. I mean, the right side of it off, well, right tackle is an issue. They have some weapons offensively, but blocking and tackling still will be an issue, which doesn't always bode well for the quarterback. Don't be shocked if they are in the number 1 overall discussion next year. Maybe not at number 1, but at least trying to trade up to get a certain quarterback from the ACC, who for the time being shall remain nameless because he's an underclass.
Let me do a follow-up to question number 5. Do you think RG3 ever makes it back to the Pro Bowl?
Well, Teddy Bridgewater made the Pro Bowl last year, and I like Teddy, but he only had like 14 touchdown passes. The way people drop out of the Pro Bowl, I'll never say never for anybody making the Pro Bowl.
All right, last question from our six-pack in overtime with NFL Network's Andrew Siciliano. Do you believe by this time next year we will be referring to the Las Vegas Raiders?
I would say, because it's Vegas and we're playing the odds, that it is slightly better than 50-50 that we will. However, never underestimate the likelihood of an iconic franchise staying home with a last-second deal.
I have said that I'd never want to see a city lose their team, but given that I'm in Denver with the AFC West, it could be kind of fun with the Raiders in Vegas. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Nate, a man of your fame and your needs, you know, I can't imagine that you need a Raiders game to hop on a $79 one-way flight to Vegas.
As long as you're going to meet me there. It's Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network, part of Overtime with our six-pack of questions for this week. Andrew, thanks.
Yes, sir.
And there you have it. That's how the overtime works, a six-pack of questions for a different analyst each week. And it also wraps up our podcast for this week. Thanks for being a part of it. We'll talk to you soon.
This has been a Sports Joe production. For more team-specific podcasts, visit sportsjoe.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.